The later evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th July 2022. It's a Tuesday class. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some more attention. And as usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light. Then you can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. Remember the four support to develop this awareness-based meditation. If you develop the four support, it will help you stabilize your awareness nature within, then your awareness-based meditation can take off. The first support is relax, completely relax your body, your mind. Be at ease. Relax means no problem, no issue. So when you are relaxed, you are at ease. There is nothing to disturb you. That's why your mind can settle down. Your body is without tension, without stress, without any problem. So ability to relax both body and mind is very important. And after you relax, don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness. To maintain awareness means the mind that is aware before the knowing. Don't try to know anything, just aware. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Whatever arise, aware, finish. Even if you are aware of the thought arising, let it pass, finish. Then whatever sensation, if it arise, let it pass. Any vibration on your hearing, let it arise and let it pass. So aware, finish. So whatever thought process or emotion or worry, fear, anxiety or what, let it arise and tell yourself, talk to your mind, the mundane mind, for the next half an hour or so. You want to train your mind to develop the inner awareness to be at peace. So have mercy on you. Do not disturb you. Whatever the mind wants you to do, you tell the mind after the session, the Dhamma session. Then I will attend to all those things. For the time being, just allow me to have this inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. And then this thinking, heedless thinking, or whatever unfinished business, they may arise, but they will not disturb you because you have already determined not to be affected. You already promised the mind you will attend to it after the spiritual Dhamma session. So just let it be. So relax, maintain awareness. Then the third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. So ability to relax, to be in that state of tranquility, stillness without thought is very important. But the mundane mind, most people, because they cannot be heedful in the midst of life, they cannot stabilize their daily mindfulness. So most of the time, they are heedless, they think a lot, they have mental hindrance. That's why all this, they will continue to arise when you try to meditate. And we call this the heedless thinking mind that is lacking order, not in order. When there is order, there is no confusion, there is no problem, everything falls into place. But when there is a situation leading to disorder, it's like a country, when there is no order, then it becomes very chaotic. a lot of misunderstanding problem do arise. So when a cultivator fails to develop daily mindfulness, stability or awareness to develop the mind that is having order, then the mental hindrance will take over. Because without order, it means you don't have the spiritual faculties, the five mental or spiritual faculties to stabilize your mind, to develop the meditative mind. So failing to develop that, the opposite five, which are the mental hindrance, they will arise. And because of the mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So because of that, you are here to reverse all this heedless thinking, to train your mind to develop the opposite. Heedfulness means to be aware most of the time, to be ever mindful, then constantly observing to develop the meditative understanding. So these three supports are very important. And when you are skillful in it, you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. So with this, I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. Before we go to where we stop, maybe I just have something to share. Last week, the class were all cancelled because we were not free. I was invited by Brother T.K. Chan from Singapore to actually to attend the house dana as offered by him. And he managed to get the sister and brother-in-law to co-host the thing at the sister and the brother-in-law's house, which is very conducive. And the thing went on very well, as what they had wanted. The causes and conditions were there, and everything just fell into place. And that sharing was very good. It's supposed to be 29 June 2022, House Dana, 11:30, and stop at 2:30. But somehow, because of the questions and the condition, the whole session went on until almost 5:30 or 6 p.m. But everybody was very attentive, full of joy, and the Dhamma session went on very well. And a lot of things are like meant to be. That's why the teaching, everything, they fall into place. Yeah? And there were very good questions asked by some of them. Dhamma related question. There is a sister, the elder sister of D.K. Chan. She was from the Mahayana tradition and she asked some very good Mahayana question, Pure Land teachings and all those things. And they were all very beautiful. If you have a chance, you should listen to it, although a bit long. After all the they cut off all the puja session and also the what they call dana session and all things. I think the video is still almost 3 hours plus, but it's full of very beautiful Dhamma understanding. And if you are a true cultivator, you will benefit a lot. I told Brother T.K., you have the karmic past, you have the roots and the condition to receive this type of teaching and truth. Then that person can awaken after he hears. Well, so I managed to cover a lot of very important basic teaching. Yeah. And all these are very useful and very appropriate to understanding life. So that sharing brings forth the condition for people to understand what the true teaching of the Buddha is, that the Buddha Dhamma is indeed very unique, very beautiful. And the moment you understand or awaken to it, not only you will transform you and make you different, it will enable you to like develop the understanding of life, where the whole secret of life has been understood, both mundane and supramundane. Then it can also lead to enlightenment, awakening. And you're not only free from all suffering, your life will take a turn. You will have joy, happiness, inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness in life. Most of the time, you will be peaceful. Yeah. And tranquility is a very beautiful mind state that you will most of the time have it. Then you will also be able to realize a lot of very beautiful things, developing a lot of understanding of life that will enable you to understand the meaning of life. Not only life is not only meaningful, it's also wonderful. Then you get to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Then life takes a turn and you become so different. Everything is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful, and so wonderful. And you will start to appreciate life. So this is the beauty of that teaching. And the teaching is very simple if you understand. But if you don't understand, you can get lost. Especially those who approach it without proper understanding. Those who approach it through thought-based knowledge or Dhamma or thinking. Once you do that, thought-based approach can never allow you to awaken or develop the understanding of this teaching. That's why this teaching sometimes you want to say is easy, is relatively easy. But you want to say it's difficult, it's also very difficult if you don't develop the understanding. So with this, hopefully you all can go and listen to the recorded sharing, which I think Chin Hao and Sui Deo has managed to gather all the recording and the video done up. So it's also on YouTube. You can also listen to it on YouTube. And it's a very beautiful, comprehensive sharing, very, very useful, very beneficial to cultivators of the way. And it opens up your understanding of this teaching. It also opens up your understanding of what Dhamma is, not the traditional theoretical Dhamma or knowledge-based Dhamma. Okay, so with this, we will continue with our usual sharing. We are following this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lien Huajing. We are at page 301, the last paragraph. Okay. Bodhisattva practice the Bodhisattva way. This is obvious, because as a Bodhisattva, you cultivate the Bodhisattva way. You perfect yourself to finally realize Sammasambuddhahood. Like the word Bodhi means enlightenment. because the Buddha got enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree. So Bodhi signify enlightenment, enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. So that tree is called a Bodhi tree. Then Satta is the being. So Bodhisattva, the two word combined means an enlightened being walking the path of Sammasambuddhahood to become Sammasambuddha. So basically Bodhisattvas, they are enlightened beings, but they haven't fully perfected themselves to become Sammasambuddha. That's why they have to walk the path of the Bodhisattva way. And they benefit themselves and benefit others. So this one is very important. They are not like the sainthood way that develop the cultivation to self-awaken. Means self-awaken. But the Bodhisattva go beyond that. They not only develop the cultivation to awaken and perfect themselves, but they also help to take others across because of their four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. So they benefit themselves and benefit others is the meaning. Benefit themselves means self-awakening, cultivate to develop self-enlightenment, then to benefit others means to take others across, to teach them the Dhamma, to let them develop the understanding of this teaching so that they can receive all the appropriate benefits, wisdom and understanding that enable them to change over to a good life, to transform themselves character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, so that they become a very wise and virtuous living being that can be a blessing to all. As I hear, it is stated that the Bodhisattva, they renounce themselves for the sake of other beings. They sacrifice, they renounce, they go forth, they cultivate, they perfect, and they take beings across. I will read on. The hell are a place of great suffering, and everyone knows that it is too fun to fall into the hell rhymes. The Bodhisattvas see the living beings suffering in the hell, and they run off to the hell to suffer along with them. So this one is literally speaking. I think he is mainly referring to Ajita Bodhisattva, Tizawang Fusa, because of the vow. Ajita Bodhisattva has this vow, not until the hells are empty of living beings, he vow not to realize the perfect enlightenment to be Sammasambuddha. So that vow really create a causes and condition for him to really go down the way to the hell realm, to preach or proclaim the teaching, to really help them in whatever way. So Ajita Bodhisattva has very unique, skillful means that enable him to do that. Because normally helping, they got no time for Dhamma. They cannot even have the condition or opportunity to hear Dhamma because they are in the hell realm. The willful state, they suffer so much. And like Senhua used to say, the suffering is so tremendous. There is no even moment of love or happiness. He used the word I cannot remember. Like unending suffering, without any moment of even happiness or peace, or gap of relief. So that is how bad hell can be. Because in the there is this sutta. What sutta is it really? The Buddha talk about the Peta one. I forgot the name already. In that sutta, the Buddha mentioned, he said, because when you are born in the Peta line, you are miserable. Because there is not like our human line. You cannot work, you got no career, you cannot plant vegetable, you cannot be a farmer, you cannot do like merchandising, like people do business and trade or nothing. There, you are born into the Petarai, which is very miserable. Then you can only wait for your related relatives, means those who have relationship with you in the past, to share merit and transfer merit. And that's the only means to receive merit to come out of that, right? There is also mentioned that he told that King Bimbisara, if I'm not wrong, that maybe King Bimbisara want to know what is hell like. Then he told the king, he said it's just like when you have a murderer who murdered somebody, then you trial him and decide to sentence him to death. So if you just kill him like that, it's very straightforward. But what happened is if you were to ask your soldier to spear this murderer, I don't know whether it's 100 times or 1,000 times in the morning. Then after that, leave him there to suffer. Then in the afternoon again, then 100 or 1,000 times spear him. But he cannot die on. He will suffer there. Then at night again. So every day, 3 times. He said that type of suffering you think is very severe. He said that type of suffering compared to hell is nothing. Nothing, he said. Because you suffer only 3 times in a day. You go down to hell, the suffering is unending. And it can be for very long period, depend on your condition or parameter to come out. If there is no condition, you can be down there. Like what happened to one of the life, I think Sakyamuni Buddha, when he was a bodhisattva to be, there is a story about how he actually went down to hell because he was a king in one of the life. Then after he went down to hell, it was supposed to be 60,000, don't know, lifespan or don't know what. He was down there for so long. Then because of his paramita, when he liberated from hell and became a human being again, he was born a prince again, born to a royal family. Then the mother, who was a deva, she came to know about all this. So when the bodhisattva was very young, he told the bodhisattva, he said, you remember what happened to you in your previous life before you went down to hell and for so long you suffered. Do you still want to be the king and suffer? And because of that, he decided to pretend to be a very sick child, like don't look upon him for any hope or future. Like he is very weak, very stupid, and like very dull. So he pretend. He pretend. So he also like become very miserable. But he don't really suffer in the sense that physically everything he has to endure all this. Then finally the king decide to send him home, thinking that there is nothing he can do if the sun is like that. The moment they send him off into the forest, he start to cultivate and meditate. And he realized enlightenment and all those things. Just like that, Jataka story is very useful. If you know how severe hell can be, you will never, never allow yourself to break your precept and do all the funny things until you went down to hell. So to go down to hell, you have to be really heedless. The evil is so great, hatred and delusion, all three are there. But you must not have this thought or idea that it's very difficult to go down to hell. No. The moment you are heedless, the moment you have greed, selfishness, you become violent. And through that delusion, you can really cause karmic negativity that send you down to hell. And one of the fastest ways is the five sikhism. Oh, sorry, the five heavy karma. If you commit any other five heavy karma, you all heard of the five heavy karma? Patricide, matricide. The first two is you kill your parent, father and mother. Then you kill an arahant. Then you cause sikhism in the sangha community. That is the fourth one. The fifth one is you hurt the samasambuddha or you wound the samasambuddha. All this considered as sikhism. Heavy karma. If you violate any of this or break any of this, straight away you go down one. And no need to wait for future life. The immediate life you down, you will go down. Like Devadatta, he caused sikhism. And he also tried to kill the Buddha, but wouldn't harm the Buddha. The leg, I remember. So all these are possible. Even Devadatta. And if you do not train your mind, do not develop the understanding, you become deluded. Then through delusion, you can break your precepts and commit a lot of karmic negativity that has greed, hatred, and delusion. If it's so intense, you will go down to hell too. Of course, hell also got many levels. It's depleted. I remember when I was young, I visited the whole pavilion. I think the Mayan I got this 18 rhyme. These are hell rhyme. And they will also draw the picture of which rhyme, how you suffer and all this thing. So, like Master Xuan Hua used to advise people, please, he said, do not plant the seed of evil or to plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. By then it's too late. Okay, we go back to the sharing part. Oh, Terakuda Sutta. I remember the Sutta now. Terakuda Sutta. Terakuda. Terakuda Sutta is a Sutta on the hungry girls and all those things. Okay, we'll continue our sharing. What's the use of suffering along with living being in the hell, you may ask? You might wonder why the Bodhisattva do that. What benefit is it to be gained from doing that? It is of no benefit to the Bodhisattva themselves. But when they got there, they speak the Dhamma to the living being and cause them to bring forth the Mohiha. Once they have done so, they will be able to leave suffering and attain bliss. So the Bodhisattvas are not afraid of undergoing any form of bitterness as they teach and transform living beings. So this one make me recall one of the story that I heard from my teacher's disciple Ajayantra. When he was caught in what they call the border between Thailand and Burma at that time. So they thought he was a communist, or at that time they catch a lot of these people. Then he was put in the jail. But because he was a yogi and he has loving kindness of the state. So when he was in the prison, so the analogy is like when you are in the prison, it's like you are in hell. He teaches the Dhamma to the prisoner. Then the prison warden, that take care of the place, they also can feel his love, his metta. They also join in. Then he taught them all the Dhamma, and they like him so much. And the soldiers, or I don't know, they really like him. Then there was also another incident when he was walking along the border before he was caught. Actually, there are a lot of war, a lot of fighting, the bullet was shooting now, both sides shooting. When he walked up and down, he didn't kena any bullet now. So the communist people, when they came to know, the news spread now. Well, they say this man different and special. What they did was, they asked for his torn robe that he doesn't want any. They all cut one piece, a small piece, and hang it on the neck now, thinking that it will be protected, and it can protect now. Well, those were the things that actually happened. So you can actually go down to the hell, to hell, but very difficult, very, very difficult, unless you have that permission. Yeah. Because I remember when I was young, I saw this movie, Mulian Chiumo, Mongolana trying to use his psychic ability to went down to the hell realm. Because the mother liked to eat this live egg of the fish, the type of fish, eat a lot of them. And because of that, somehow the causes of condition were there, yes, down in the rhyme. And she, the sign got psychic and know where the mother is. And the mother actually don't believe what Mongolana is capable of and all those things. And also, being deluded. That's why I went down. And when Mongolana tried to use his psychic to create psychic ability to give the mother food, you know what happened when the food went into the mouth of the mother? It became molten, red molten, like charcoal, very hot, lava, like lava, oh, very, very hot, until the mother cannot. Then he tried a lot of ways, cannot. So you cannot actually help using magic or psychic or whatever, can't. But if you have that cultivation, that what they call special virtue, and you develop the vow and other things like a star bodhisattva, that type of chanting, it can actually, the vibration can go through. And those who have affinity with the star bodhisattva and those great beings that has this virtue and perfection and ability through the vow, they can go down and develop the ability to help them. So all these are possible, even though it's near to impossible, very difficult, but it's possible. So this one, hopefully you can understand. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Don't think that bodhisattva are very comfortable. Many of them are very uncomfortable. They are incredibly busy all day long, traveling in the north, east, south, and west, in the 4 point in between and up and down to rescue living beings. Why? Because they wish to practice the six perfection or six paramita and the 10,000 conducts. They want to establish merits and virtue. To rescue a single being, a person, is the same as rescuing one living being within their own self nature. So this one is a very profound understanding. If they do not cross that person over, then a living being in their self nature remain to be saved. So the Bodhisattva practice giving the six paramita. Giving is dana, dana parami, and morality is sila parami, yeah? And patient kanti is another parami. Then virya, virya is vigor, yeah? Or spiritual zeal, zeal, tenacity. Then they also cultivate the perfection of dhyan samadhi. And finally, prajna, which is wisdom. So these are the six perfections. The bodhisattva who are missing even one of the six perfections are not yet perfect. They must practice or cultivate all six. Sometimes they may try to give things away, but people won't take them. They may even try to give some money only to hear. You have got too much money. You are trying to give it to me, but I don't want it either. This happens all the time. It's not easy to practice the Bodhisattva way. Bodhisattva cultivate the six perfection or six paramita, the six method or ways of making it to the other show. Causing them to attain Anuttara Samyat Sambodhi and realize the wisdom of all modes. So this is the other part of the sutta. They cause them to attain the utmost proper, equal and right enlightenment, to realize the Buddha fruit and to accomplish the wisdom of all modes. There are three types of wisdom. All wisdom which belongs to the truth of emptiness is the first one. The second one is the wisdom in the way which belongs to the truth of the false. The first two fall into the two extreme of emptiness and existence. Then there is the third one, the wisdom of all mode, means perfection of prajna paramita, which belongs to the truth of the middle path or middle way. The first two wisdom are still one-sided. The third is the final meaning of the middle way, which does not fall into the extreme of emptiness or into the extreme of existence. Realization means that they certify to the attainment of the wisdom. They certified to the fruit of Buddhahood. The three truths and the three wisdom, they all interpenetrate. Now in speaking of the wisdom of all mode, the other two wisdom are also included. So this one I had to explain a bit. It's a like the first type of wisdom, the wisdom of emptiness. So when you cultivate, you develop insight, you awaken, you penetrate, then you realize like what is written in the Heart Sutta, the five aggregates are all empty, empty of substance, empty of characteristics, everything is the way it is. So this is what we call the unconditioned Dhamma realization, the empty of self, no mark, no dwelling, all this thing is also pointing towards emptiness. So this is the unconditioned Dhamma. So this type of wisdom, although they say it's one-sided, but not really one-sided. It can awaken the individual, the beings. It can give you that kind of wisdom to transform you and root out your delusion, your ignorance, your practice. Then you can become enlightened. But the interesting thing about the Dhamma is there are two aspects to it. One is enlightenment, leading to cessation and finish. The other one is to live life, existence. So within the existential world, it also has this conditioned Dhamma. That's why wisdom of the conditioned Dhamma. That's why you have the Four Noble Truths, the three turning. And all these are the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught. So when you learn all this, develop all this understanding, then you can develop the enlightenment too. And these two, the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, you must have both. If you don't have both, you cannot live life. You are still lopsided. You don't understand life. You think the form and mind is real within the conditioned world. You use the ultimate truth. You say, hey, no you, hey, no me. Why you say, so keep over and do all this? No mind of a self, no other. I didn't kill anybody. No, you do that, you will get into trouble. You will entangle yourself. Because the conditioned world has its own sets of rules. The form and mind that come according to the conditioned world, this form and mind is subject to karma. You cannot say everything is empty, no mark, nothing, no, that one is subject to karma. That's why you have to do your duty in that sense. That is the conditioned Dhamma. And this form and mind is not you. It's dependent originating, conditioned arising, causal phenomena. And it's impermanent. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Then within the existential world, the conditioned Dhamma, when you develop the wisdom, life becomes wonderful. That's why when you realize true emptiness, which is unconditioned wisdom Dhamma, then life within the conditioned world becomes meaningful, wonderful, beautiful. That is the meaning. Then you know how to live life. Otherwise, you don't know how to live life. My nature realized a lot of cultivators of the way living beings find it so difficult to understand the Dhamma is because of this. That they don't understand this. It's like very contradictory. So, on the one side, the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition, supporter of our karma. We are what we are because of karma. That everything is like real. So, then, on the other side, when he teach the universal characteristic, he teach anatta, non-self. He know you, he know me. That's why they are very confused. Then, especially the Theravada tradition, they don't really have very deep understanding of what that true mind, true nature is. The two aspects of the mind, they don't really have proper teaching to explain that. And the realization of that is not easy, really not easy. That's why they only have the teaching of sati, mindfulness, and heedfulness, apamada. And linking it to the true mind, the true nature, the awareness nature, the Theravada Sutta is like very quiet on it. Nothing much is being mentioned. Because the sinhood way doesn't require the understanding of it. The sinhood way just require a glimpse of that cessation. And from there, you cultivate the essential Dhamma following the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha has taught of Four Noble Truths and its three turning. You can awaken. You can realize even arahantship and free yourself, no need to come back. And because of that, I realized, my teacher realized, cultivator of the way have big problem. They cannot reconcile on this. And because they cannot reconcile, they couldn't develop the understanding to teach people, to share people, to break free completely. Because the egoic mind, the Sakaya Ditti, they are very deep rooted because of the millenniums of birth and death, the conditioning, the grasping, the clinging through the delusion. It has been there for millennium. Your consciousness carries that. And to root it out is not easy. That's why this teaching, when you understand, it's like very easy, very clear. But most people cannot understand. And because of that, I tell you, it's not easy to come out of it, even to find a teacher who can teach you the truth. The real understanding of this teaching is very rare. That's why the two Dhamma, the opening verse in the Mahayana Sutta, they always mention that. This type of teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, the truth, that can awaken the living being and develop the understanding of the Bodhisattva way, they are very rare, very, very rare. Even in 500 million of aeons, you may not encounter it. You look at the uniqueness of this teaching. That's why this window of opportunity, this sasana, is very important. You must listen in, go firmly establish the Bodhisattva vow so that you are home. From now onward, with this Bodhisattva vow developed, understood, then cultivated, developed the faith, then firmly establish your vow. It's just like the Mahayana, he said three things. Faith, then invoke power merit for vows, then invoke power merits to cultivate, and cultivate affinity with great beings, seek their blessing, protection and guidance, then develop the Bodhisattva vow, then develop all the right view. Ask for forgiveness to break all your coming obstruction. Forgiveness from Triple Gem, from all beings, from all things. So all these are very important understanding. Otherwise, you can be obstructed. Coming obstruction is very real and very difficult for you to come out of it. Then cultivate affinity with great beings. Then vow. By power of merit. That's why you need the perfection. You need the cultivation, the 10 parameters, and the 6 perfection to really develop the merits, the blessings, and the virtue together with the wisdom to enable you to make aspiration vows for causes and conditions for you to progress along the power of Dhamma to perfect yourself. To realize the ultimate fulfillment, to realize Samasambuddhahood. So all this, establish it during this sasana, before you die, before your fire aggregate of form and mind disperse. Then you will be very sure. The next time you come in, even without the sasana, you will have all the right view, right understanding, and the ability to cultivate. All these conditions will manifest. Plant the seed of Bodhi deep within your nature. The faith, the vow, and cultivate sincerely, persevere. Once you do this, it will merge with the nature's law, and all these things will manifest for the betterment of the form and mind that develop this, what they call resolve to go this way. Okay, so I think try to end. I go back to the sutta. I think we are at the end already. We are at the end already. So I will read the last paragraph. I finished this one. Okay, we finished. So we can stop here.
Right, 这一次我去这个 retreat 是我去做 server， 所以会不一样。当然我在做 server 的时候是很多的 interactions， 所以我就跟我自己讲要缅甸那个 daily mindfulness 在 daily 里面。So there are few experience， but 我那个我不觉得我比较 emphasize 就是我 during 这个 course 的时候我有看这个巴迪加萨姆巴达
啊，沙德沙德，
哇，我其实看了以后understanding 不一样了
啊，沙德，
我一口气可以一次过的看完，我看完了以后我再 recall 回我讲诶这么完全不一样，然后我就想到我2008年我第一次来 Brazil Building 的这个 class 的时候，那个时候在学这个 Paticca
Sammupada，
哇，我是 totally 的不能够 accept 你的 sharing。
对
2012 的时候我去印度 retreat， 我拿出你那一本书，我在那个 during retreat 我读了五次，我每一个 sentence读了，我 contemplate 再读都不能够明白。Then after 2013年了过后，阿加安那边回来，我再看多一次，我可以明白，但是很在 superficial 的那个 level。But 这一次我 after 九年了过后，我再看，哇，我看完了以后完全能够明白你里面讲的那个 do mind， 很清楚的哈，然后它怎样的每一个的 link 那个 context 全部可以明白。
And it's not over the three lifetime one, it's the instantaneous one.
Then 做我的 next section 的sitting 的时候，忽然间我 record 的，我在 record 回这个的时候，哇，很多的感动，我觉得要能够 understand 这个 Paticca Sammupada 真的不容易，真的不容易，所以连它里面，因为这个它是一个 right view 来的，是其中的一个 law of mind， 是 very important，
yes，
它是很重要。结果忽然间我就，因为我那时候我在sitting 的时候，就觉得哇，这个 law of mind 是 very important， 是因为我们的每一个 moment， 我们的 mind 一直在 arise 的时候，如果我们有 avijja 的时候，你就一直在就一直在 react 那个这个 mind。结果忽然间我就想着，它三个是 link 起来的，就对，来，如果我们 go through 这个first noble truth 的这个 eight reality 的时候，我们不能够 accept 的时候，你的 mind 就 react。
对，
这个 dependent origination 就 arise 了，
对，
你就去 create 这个 karma，
对，
这个 karma 有了以后，又因为这个 tree evolution， 我们又一直 react 的话，这个 law of dependent origination 它又 arise，
就不停的转，
它这三个的 triangle 很像你就一直在 interrelated， 一直在那边arise 这样子，然后就觉得哇 ，very profound， 我觉得这个这整个的这个 law 里面。我想到以前从不能够 accept 到不能够明白到今天，哇，真的是很多的这个感动。然后突然间我就觉得哇，能够，然后我觉得很 deep 的谢谢 Brother， 尤其我觉得哇，我觉得哇，这样 important 的这个 rule， 这个 law， 连 Brother 你能够用这样 simple 的 English 来 explain and。就这样子的变成了一本书，哇，真的不简单。我觉得哇，我觉得 Brother 你的要谢谢你的 nature 的这个 sharing，
the understanding has to be very stable， because that was the talk I give， it was a normal Tuesday class or Thursday class， I think that one was a Saturday class that time， 2:00 AM， remember it's a Saturday class， and the sharing was so like very profound， very few people can understand at that time， because it's not a single dimension thing, it's multi-dimension, it moves very fast， Unless your mindfulness, awareness, nature within is very stable, you cannot see the link. And to see the link, your mindfulness has to be so stable that you can be at the moment of contact. There is no movement, moment of feeling, that pure feeling, no movement. Normal people cannot do that one. Normal people, their mind move very fast. They think a lot. They are very heedless. They have a lot of avijja, a lot of delusion. That's why that link, the first two, avijja, paccaya, sankara, that one keep on moving. Because of avijja, paccaya, sankara, you keep on thinking, thinking, thinking. And what is thinking? When you make contact with the brain, that is what thinking is all about. So when you make contact with the brain, it's like a physical experiment. The moment you make contact, that light bulb lights up. So the thought consciousness flashes up. So when the thought consciousness flashes up, that is the vijnana, that is the third link. That's why avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana. But this vijnana is the pure consciousness. The content hasn't gone in yet. But you can see it one. That's why you must have the direct seeing, the stability of mindfulness to see things as they are first. Then only that link you can see. Otherwise, you cannot see it. Otherwise, straight away, it becomes craving already. Then grasping, becoming, then you become like transgression, birth, and the whole mess of suffering comes to be. That's why last I remember there is one, the pang is it? But the moment I aware, actually not even aware, is it straight away suffering. He said how to cut, how to see. The link also cannot see it. And very fast you become fearful, you become emotional. The petition samuppada already reached the end. Then upon contact, not only after the sense basis, salayatana, pachya, what they call pasat contact. Yeah. So it's not only there. When you have avijja, ignorant contact with the brain, there is also contact. That's why ignorant contact will create wrong view, delusion, sakkaya ditti. And that one, the egoic mind, will actually through your memory, your views, your obedience, your conditioning, your belief system, all these habitual tendency, they start to develop. Yeah, you keep on behaving that way. That's why with that, it will introduce a content of consciousness, the delusion of going on. The evil roots, that's why the five mental hindrance, they all arise already because you lack the right view, you lack the vijja, you lack yoniso manasikara. That's why that link you cannot break. And very few people can even see that link. That's why in the sutta is mentioned, he who sees paticca samuppada sees the Four Noble Truths automatically. But those who see the Four Noble Truths may not see paticca samuppada. May not see. Not everybody will see. Especially the sainthood way, the sotapan and the sakadami, they may not see. Even the anagami may not really see, but the arahant will see. The arahant will know. Yeah. That's why you realize or not under the Mahayana teaching. The ten dhammarai. That's the ten dhammarai. The first dhammarai is the dhammarai of the Buddha. Okay. Then you have dhammarai on the bodhisattvas. The bodhisattva, the Buddha never say how they become enlightened to be. They enlightened being only go that way. But the next two rai, they call it the collision enlightened one. That one is yan jiao du jiao, the third rai. The collision enlightened one are called the Paccheka Buddhas. Yeah. So this Paccheka Buddha in the sasana is not there. They themselves realize, awaken to the dwelling, paticca samuppada. That's why through condition, they awaken. But because they awaken to the dwelling, they also realize the Four Noble Truths. But there was no sasana. So how can they know? That's why he who sees paticca samuppada, he will see the Four Noble Truths, like what you explained just now. Then you realize they were all connected. Understand? Then once you see the link, you see how karma come in. You see how the cause of arising of suffering due to your wrong view, your delusion and all things. Then when you have the understanding, you also see how it can cease. The cessation will happen when the mindfulness become very stable, when your daily mindfulness become very stable. Then you can see the linker. You can be at the moment of feeling. It cannot move because of your yonisomanasikara, wisdom. That's why feeling become pure feeling. There is no more avijja. That's why it cannot condition. But if you don't have that, the wisdom, yonisomanasikara, that's why at the moment of sense experience, upon contact, straight away it trigger already, creating arising. But because of your wisdom, born of cultivation, it can actually remain as pure feeling. No grasping. That's why no grasping, no summary. Then you will know. The first noble truth, final summary, in short, the Buddha said, it is due to your sakyadity, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. Upadana khandas is dukkha. That will become very clear when you see the dwelling. But to see the dwelling, your daily mindfulness has to be very stable. You have to understand all this. The unisomana, the initial wisdom. Then you realize the form and mind is not you. Everything that you will mention is related, connected. The three evil roots, all the essential, they are all linked. That's why I can link all this for you, share all this, and I can just share like that. I don't need to commit to memory, no need. That's why I say that wisdom, when you understand not. Because how it functions, how it happens, you have gone through, your nature has gone through, your nature will know. Your nature will not, through knowledge or memory, try to explain things, cannot really. Because it's not like that one. The truth, the reality is, it happened at the awareness level. The awareness level that sitting as they are is like, the link is so clear. Like it's not a theory anymore. No, you don't hear from somebody on. No, it's direct knowledge and vision of the reality. The direct seeing, the awakening. It just arises. That's why all this become very different. Then after the third Dhamma rhyme, the enlightenment of the conditioned enlightenment, the Pacific Buddha, the fourth one, the fourth rhyme is called the sound hearer, Senwen. Why they call it the sound hearer? Now these are the people who have to wait till the sasana to hear the Four Noble Truths and its threatening, then they awaken. That's why they hear the Four Noble Truths. Then they contemplate, reflect, then they develop the meditative understanding, then they awaken. If you realize through this, you may not see the dwelling one. Unless that saying that Arahant has developed the stability of mindfulness towards the end, after he went beyond Anagami, then he is at the they got the path and the friction for Arahant. When he is at the path before the friction, he suddenly stabilizes his mindfulness until he is very mindful. Then he can actually see the link. That's why when he sees the link, he realizes Arahantship. He rooted out avijja. So that is how the teaching is to be developed through that understanding. That's why the Buddha's teaching, you realize, he never make mistake. His teaching is very profound and very direct. Then you go and check his Abhijja Sutta. Oh, also linked one. Oh. The eighth step, four foundation of mindfulness. He said, after you cultivate this for at least 7 years, maximum, if you really sincerely cultivate, or minimum 7 days, you will realize at least anagami, if not arahantship. Why? Because this one cultivate only after you have realized sotapannasya and sakadagamisya. That's why in the opening statement of the what they call four foundation of mindfulness, he said, ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu, o bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the realization of the right path. And what is this? Namely, the four foundations of mindfulness. Then he started to teach the four foundations. He said, after overcoming covetousness, he always say this one. That's why I share with you all in Upinisa last time, the final chapter of the Satipatthana. You must understand this. To overcome covetousness and greed means you must have severed the first three fetters plus attenuated the fourth and the fifth fetters. Means the Sotapan and the Sakadagami, first stage of sainthood and second stage of sainthood cultivator, they will have this ability to overcome covetousness and greed. So covetousness is very strong craving. Then greed is like not only suffering, sorrow, you become like you enter grief already. You start to grieve already. You not only suffer and sorrowful. That's why after overcoming these two, only you will and cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. So what is not understood is under the fetters that the Sakadagami rooted out, he only attenuated the fourth and the fifth fetter, which is sensual desire and ill. And this is basically what covetousness is, sensual desire, ill will, grief. So this strong one attenuated already, reduced already, left with very little. That's why they are Sotapan, Sakadagami. So his teaching is everywhere connected one, no mistake one. That's why he actually told Ananda. Then Ananda asked him, after his passing away, who shall we follow? He said, don't follow anybody. Follow just his Dhamma, his teaching. Yeah? And check against the Vinaya. Check against the Vinaya. Yeah. If it's not in the teaching, not in the Vinaya, that is not his teaching. If it's in the teaching and the Vinaya, then it is his teaching. Where the Vinaya is to protect you from making mistakes. The morality part, the sila part, the mindfulness to abstain. You undergo the training rule not to do this, not to do that, and all those things. So that one, your mindfulness has to be very stable. Then when it comes to the Dhamma, you have to check against the Dhamma. Doesn't mean that got one sutta say, correct already. No. Check against the Dhamma means all the Dhamma he teach, you must check against each other. It's all connected one. It's all correct one. If it's not correct, any of the so-called Buddha Dhamma that you maybe get from translator or commentator or what, like the Paticca Samuppada over three periods of time, it definitely doesn't match. They cannot match. So that one, you know, you have to throw it out. Because why you want to teach a Paticca Samuppada that happened only over three lifetimes once? For what? Academic. Maybe. But for what? But what is more important is the Paticca Samuppada, if you are a cultivator, you have mindfulness, every moment, every instant, it arrives non-stop. That's why now you start to have the ability to understand all this, that I can go deeper to explain all this to you, to extend the understanding. Because not only I realize the Buddha is very wise, all his teaching, they are all very precise. You look at Abhijja Sutta, it mentions the four foundations of mindfulness. And the four foundations of mindfulness match with his heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Then verse 1 and 2 also mesh with the law of karma, the five daily contemplation, the fifth contemplation. So the first noble truth, the eight reality, and the five daily contemplation, they are all connected. It's to understand his teaching. That's why he is very wise, he's very better, because he took the wisdom away. That's what he can connect. That's the reason why in the year 1971, when I got that book, I saw the Four Noble Truths. I knew what the teaching is, and I tell myself, even if I got the enlightenment now, not to say sama sambadala, the enlightenment to realize the arahantship and beyond that, I cannot summarize all my understanding into the fundamental. Impossible. But he can, because he has perfection of wisdom. He can summarize everything, Monday, both Monday and Super Monday, into just fundamental. So, it's just like a prototype. From there, all the essential Dhamma spin off from that. Just from the Four Noble Truths and his three turning, all his teaching come out. And this is the whole secret of life. That's why I know it's the secret of life. Mundane and super mundane. Oh, everything you need to know is there. That's why I knew. If I understand this teaching, I understand life. I know how to live life. I am free. That's why I went all out to cultivate. I'm not interested in other things. Actually, I am capable when I graduate as a civil engineer. I have the ability, I knew, to go the materialistic way and become very successful and very wealthy and very famous. But I choose the spiritual way. That's why I choose my career path. I devote more time towards the cultivation. So all this is like meant to be, that my nature come with that understanding. So started to, you know, because it really not easy. Even when I was in Singapore, TK asked me the same question. Then I tried to like test him out. I said, what is your understanding of the Paticca Samuppada? At first it's the five aggregate and all of it. He cannot remember. He has to recall through memory. Then I pointed out to him, do you realize the way you learn Dhamma, everything also you need to recall to memory. You cannot spontaneously from your understanding share or explain or develop the understanding to actually manifest it. He can't. He every time wants to go to memory. Then he tried to explain the Dhamma Paticca Samuppada. Then he said, they all got Dhamma study group. They study this Abhidhamma. They also study this Paticca Samuppada. Then I asked him to explain. He explained using the three period of time. I said, are you sure this is the Paticca Samuppada? No, because like I explained in the book you read, they can't explain it otherwise. They have to use the three lifetime one. Easier to explain. We have that one like very scientific, very technical, very direct. Because ignorant ma, avijja ma, paccaya sankhara. So sankhara they call karmic formation. This past karma. Condition, what they call the form of mind. That's why the rebirth consciousness is the vijnana. Then vijnana paccaya nama rupa is the five aggregate of form of mind, the human being, the first aspect. All like that, the sense basis, everything easy to explain, but they need the three period of lifetime to explain. But I say this one, you learn for what? The real happening is not like that. Because this is the only way they can explain, they find it theoretically, knowledge-wise, they can put it into an explanation to explain to people. That's why this one actually comes from the Hindu teaching. The Hindu teaching on rebirth and other things. Then I told him, what if you have the mindfulness and the understanding, you will understand it differently. Because when there is avijja means you have ignorance. What is ignorant? He can't understand. No. I say ignorant of what? But he very, in a way, very smart, is it? Yeah, oh, that is the key. Oh. Ignorant of what? Nobody asks, is it? Nobody asks and nobody explains. Oh. Ignorant of what? Just ignorant of it. So I say ignorant of the truth. Ignorant of the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, the teaching, the three right views that the Buddha teach. If you don't have the understanding, if you have ignorance, what will you do? In the school, the teacher will say, go back and think about it. That's why you go and think, believing that through thinking, you can solve your problem. You can't. Your thinking is thought, limited. The truth, the Dhamma, is beyond thought, beyond mind. So you cannot approach it through the thinking. So what happens is, one thing to know, one thing to develop the understanding, the human being start to think. So when you think, you make contact with the brain, you think through memory, you recall through memory what your knowledge is, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your academic, everything is in your memory. That's how you go to your memory. So avijja, one thing to know, where you lack understanding, you go and think. When you think, it's like the physics experiment. I draw this one. You see, this physics experiment is very important. Here, if I don't draw it, a lot of people cannot understand. So this one is the light bulb. This one is a switch, or we call it the contact. Okay, then this one is a power point, battery. So there is this current. Upon contact, this light bulb will light up. So the lighting up is like the lighting up. It's like you become conscious. It's equivalent to becoming conscious. So consciousness means upon contact, consciousness come to be. So this consciousness, depending on which sense organ you are at, it will arise. If it's at the brain, then it become a thought consciousness. Understand? It is at your eye, when you see something, then this one is seeing consciousness. You hear something, that is hearing consciousness. So this consciousness is dependent on the organ. Dependent on this one, light bulb is like the organ. So whatever the organ, the respective consciousness will arise. So when you understand this, what happened in the brain is upon contact, it keep on happening. The conscious mind arise. This pure consciousness arise before the contact went in. But without a very stable mindfulness, you cannot see this. This one, you need to have the ability to have the direct seeing. To see things as they are, like the baby, they see without the words, without the concept, without the memory. It's just as it is. So that type of seeing, unless your mindfulness and your wisdom is there, you cannot have that type of seeing. That's like the third link, the pure consciousness, before the content go in. Unless you really have the stability of mindfulness, you cannot see. And straight away, the content of consciousness will go in, based on your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, your whatever habitual tendency, everything that you have accumulated, even your insecurity, your phobia, your sorrow, your lament, whatever, you will just go in. Mainly it's your sakyadity, your wrongdoing, your avijja. And when it goes in, it becomes a thought. So what is a thought? A thought is a pure consciousness. This one, somebody they call it the receptacle, the pure consciousness. This pure consciousness is also called the receptacle. Receptacle. It's like a container, hold the thing. Then the content of consciousness is the content. So this content of consciousness is what you input into that pure consciousness. And this whole thing become a thought. And this is your second aspect of your five aggregate of form and mind. Second aspect of five aggregate of form and mind. So this is how the paticchasamuppada come to be. So from avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnanam, and sankara paccaya vijnanam, and vijnanam paccaya nama rupam. Nama rupam. This one is the thought, the five aggregate. Then this one is the pure consciousness. And this one is the sankara aspect. Everything that your mind can do. So this is ignorant, avijja. That's how the first falling comes. And from here, it moves very fast. Because when the thought arise, means the content there already, craving, everything is there already, the whole movement, very fast, like lightning. Just like the Diamond Sutra say, yi jie yu wei fa, zu meng huan tao yin, zu lu yi lu dian, that is the word, zu lu, like a morning dew and a lightning flash. From here onward, it's like a lightning flash. The whole paticca samuppada link just go. And straight away you experience craving, suffering, misery, whatever. That's why they go and teach you the theoretical Dhamma, the knowledge of, he said, cut a feeling. Your feeling, condition, craving. He said, cut a feeling. How can you cut? Without wisdom, you cannot read. Without mindfulness, you cannot see. That's why without stability or sati, forget about the Dhamma cultivation. You must have sati. That's why mindfulness is very important. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. If you don't have heedfulness, you don't stand a chance. You completely don't stand a chance. Ah, yes. You pass the mic to Sue. Yeah.
Yeah. I got something to add that you tell me if it's not relevant. suddenly it occurred to me, every time we talk about the light bulb, this physics experiment, this is the fire gates of form and mind. It wasn't very obvious in this example how the thought plays such a big part. So, because we form thoughts based on all the memories and the bias and point of views we have. So I thought this made things clearer for me. A light bulb has that glass around it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that glass is all your memories. So if you had a very bad trauma, you had your fear. Maybe it's painted red.
Yeah.
The minute it lights up, everything you see is red.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you act according to that, you create the red color come out, you become the red demon. And then if you had a very bad, depressive grief in your life, you colored it black. Then you shine, got red, got black, your karma also a mixture. Then it's like, I found this was a very good example for me. All the experiences in life, if you cannot make peace with the world, war, and you say the world is a very bad place, the politicians are not, they're using their power wrongly, you keep all these upset and unfinished. You carry all these always at the tip of your mind. The minute you see, you react, you see, you react, then that's what happens when your thoughts forms, when you use your form and mind. And then when all the different forms in your head, you have your thought dwelling everywhere, then this is what's happening. But when all the colors are not there, that means you don't leave the stain on the light bulb. If it's always washed clean, or if it's never stained there, that means it never made a negative impact in our memory. And we can accept that life has its beauty within its perils, then this will be the original physics experiment we saw where everything was bright light. That's my analogy.
Yeah, very good. Sadhu.
Yeah, that is a good way to express it. Because normal people need something to describe. So like you say, if you understand the light bulb, then you will know within the light bulb, if you put in a color bulb, the color of the glass will be reflected. But the input depends on what type of memory you have. Because the memory is the one that accumulated all of our belief system, views, opinion, conditioning, our phobia. That's why the three evil roots are all there. Because what is memory? Basically, are all our experiences, good and bad, and we accumulate them in our brain. That's why the brain is one of the organs. So this brain is very useful. When you need to remember certain bigger thing or certain like useful information like your name, your address, your signature, how you sign, and your office address, and many other technical things like general knowledge or places where you need to visit, and the name of the car and all those things, and many things you need memory, but these are mechanical memories, normal type of memory, nothing to do with our mind, understand? Nothing to do with our psychological aspect. Our mind that has a psychological aspect, there is a psychological memory like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, phobia, scars of memory. All these are related to our psyche, understand? Psychological. That one, you remember for what? It will bring about tremendous fear. It will condition wrong thought. It will bring about more and more suffering, misery. That's why psychological memory, don't go and accumulate. Because what is thought? Thought is respond to memory. Always remember that. Thought is respond to memory. So if you know this, whatever you carry in your memory will create thought. It will trigger a thought. That's why thought is always within the known. Because it's memory accumulated of the past. It's never with the moment. That's why thought is limited in that sense. So when you use thought, you have to understand there is a purpose for thought. That's why the Buddha in his teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, teach right thought. It doesn't mean you don't use thought. You still need to use thought in this world, existential world, the existential conditional world, Dhamma. You need thought. Why? To communicate, to express yourself, to share, to teach, to learn things, to remember things. But for psychological aspect of life, you cannot use thought because it will bring about suffering. When you accumulate all your psychological fear, all your psychological, what they call negativity of mind state, what will happen? This one will allow this phobia, fear, all these are negative psychological mind state. And when you recall them, they will trigger off what they call thought. And what are those type of thought? Fearful thought. The wrong thought. That's why I teach you what are wrong thoughts. Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your possessiveness, your violent nature, your envy, your jealousy. All these are wrong thoughts. So why go and think of all those psychological wrong thoughts that trigger off all this? You're supposed to develop all the virtue, the virtuous thought, like sincerity, honesty, respect, then contentment. The other one is truthfulness. So all this, where there is virtue behind, no evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, these are pure virtuous thought that has got no psychological thing behind one. Like loving kindness, compassion, gratitude. Instead of developing all the opposite, which is cruelty, envy, jealousy. So all these are negative tendencies. But pure thought is useful. That's why thought, the user behind, is very important. The user of thought must have wisdom to arise the right thought. Without wisdom, avijja will create the wrong thought. Let's say wrong thought is the one that condition your suffering, your misery. So the five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, is when you grasp to them through sakayadithi, self-delusion, it will trigger a wrong thought. And this wrong thought is the source of grasping that condition your misery and your suffering. So all the wrong thought that brings about misery and suffering are the thought that you have to avoid. You have to root it out. That's why when the wrong thought arises, there are five ways to overcome them. Use the four right effort to overcome them. First is to abandon them through the five ways. The first two are still thought based, of course. Eh? Think of the opposite, wholesome thought. Then think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought. Yes, evil have its evil consequences, lead to karma or coming downfall. Then the third way is the meditative way. Silen your mind, develop awareness to be with it. The wrong thought, the unwholesome thought, can be greed, fear, covetousness, craving, lust, or whatever. Especially anger, hatred, and fear. So when you are aware of it, one with it, not to be with it using another thought to try to see that thought, no. Silen your mind, aware, and stay with it, means like the content of consciousness and the receptacle one. So when you are aware, find out what happened to that wrong thought. Without doing anything, like I tell you in the meditation, relax, maintain awareness, silent. When you are silent without thought, what happened to you? Your mind is tranquil and still. And there can be no fear, worry, anxiety, or the psychological wrong thought cannot be there. That there is no thought to condition. Then what happened? That emotion, which is dependent originating, will on its own dissipate and cease. And when it ceases, the awareness is aware of the movement. Is aware that it is slowing down. Then finally, cease. Cease means what? That is not your true mind. That is the mundane mind, dependent originating. These are sankhara, mind state, mental states that arise dependent on wrong view. Dependent originating. When they originate through wrong view, you will come to know that these are the one that has arisen and they will come to an end when the conditions is to be, they will see. So in the third way, you must silence your mind to realize that cessation. The moment you realize it ceases, then you will come to a profound awakening, a realization. That originally, our true mind has none of all this. This arise through condition, wrong view, sakkadity, that condition us to grasp and cling to the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then they arise. That's why when you see somebody, you recall through memory, that fear arise, that phobia arise. Because in the past, they have done stupid things and certain things that trigger of their phobia, their fear. That's why straight away the hatred, the dislike, or whatever it manifests. But before you have the anger and the fear and the hatred and the envy, there were none. Then how did it arise? Because of your wrong view, your senses. You see it. Then upon contact, the contact when it triggers. Then when you silence everything, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, it ceases. Then you realize. It returned to its original state before the stirring. That's why that true mind, your silent mind, is a meditative mind. Your oneness nature, your true nature. Stay with that. That is the one that got no fear, nothing. Because that one, no thought, no duality, no memory, nothing. That one is your true mind, your silent mind. And that nature purify everything. Nothing can stay within that nature. It will cease. Then when it ceases, you realize that cessation, that is the wisdom that will awaken you. Then you are not deluded. Then if fear is not me, anger is not me, delusion or this is not me, then why should I worry about it? Why should I try to meditate, to suppress it, to control it, and don't want to have anger? This is delusion. Who do that? The thought want to fight all this that it creates. That's why the thought, which is deluded, egoic, cannot break free. That's why you must be aware. The shining light of awareness must actually develop the wisdom, the understanding. Once it's there, Yoni Sokmana Sikara manifests, all this delusion cannot come in. Then all the whole of the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will collapse in front of you. That they cannot stand up to this wisdom that has arisen. This bright awareness nature within. Where this one outshine everything. Then this one is the one that liberates the mind. So meditation is to develop this understanding. Just like the third way leading to the fourth way is very important. So with the third way, you will come to know exactly like what the Buddha described in the Paticchasamuppada. The Buddha said, you will come to know how the arisen wrong thought or mental hindrance ceases to be. It ceases to be without you doing anything. Silent, aware. Then you will trace under the fourth way, the origination factor, how the unarisen mental hindrance or unwholesome thought come to be. Always through your senses, through your views, opinion, and conditioning. Then you realize how it arises. Then you will know how to retrospectively reverse it to what? Right view. Straighten your view. The next time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think or something, or recall to memory, why should you behave the old way, acting according to memory, based on your views, opinion, conditioning, and habitual tendency? No! You should develop the wisdom born of the direct seeing. The world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Human beings are the way they are. Deluded ones do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Angry people do angry things. Violent people do violent. They are just the way they are. Means everything is just the way it is. That is the reality. That is what is. That is true reality. That's why I see things as they are. See them for what they are. Not what you perceive through your wrong view. You understand? So when you can accept them and see them for what they are, you are always at peace with the world. With the world, it's definitely the way it is. Because at that moment, all the conditions set already, cannot be otherwise. That is the reality, what is. You cannot go against what is. You have to accept. Acceptance sits in your mind. Acceptance doesn't mean you agree. After that, you act. Everyone. Wisdom way, following the Dhamma way. Following the Noble Eightfold Path, act with right view leading to right thought, right spirit. Right? This is how you live life. That's why you must know the mundane and the supramundane Dhamma to enable you to live and act this way. Okay? Hopefully today it will become clear. Huh? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, today when become recorded, it will be very good.
Can you say this in the A?
Oh, Tucker, reset Tucker. Never mind, you go and write. Then, alam saya. Reset Tucker, not Tucker. Reset Tucker, okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think it's A. Last time also at the retreat, I read I, somebody corrected me. Thank you, you tell her, thank you. Okay.